Sports Podcast, your daily fix for everything from the world of sports on First Post.
Hello and welcome to Spotcast, the sports update on First Post. Today is the 8th of July 2019, a Monday. My name is Rakesh Sharma. Let's get to the news. In football news, the United States retained the Women's World Cup on Sunday, defeating the Netherlands 2-0. A Megan Rapinoe penalty and a Rose Lavelle struck once each to give the title holders a comfortable win in the final played in Lyon, prompting new questions over a potential visit to Donald Trump's White House. Rapinoe scored the first goal 61 minutes into the match, kicking the ball from 12 yards to put the USA ahead. 8 minutes later, Lavelle set off on a piercing run towards the box, dropped her shoulder to set up the shooting opportunity, and fired in from 18 yards, making it 2-0. Sunday's win underlines the USA's status as the dominant force in international women's football as they claim the World Cup for the fourth time in 8 editions. Rapinoe ends the tournament with a golden ball for the best player, ahead of England's Lucy Bronze and Lavelle, while also winning the golden boot as her 6 goals came from fewer minutes on the field than teammate Alex Morgan or England's Ellen White. The US women's team has also made headlines for their political stance. Rapinoe was in the news for also declaring she would boycott any team visit to the presidential mansion after the tournament. Coach Jill Ellis remained non-committal on whether the team would carry out the visit if invited, saying she wouldn't bet on an invite coming. However, the US president put their spat to one side to congratulate the team, tweeting, and I quote, "Congratulations to the US women's soccer team on winning the World Cup. Great and exciting play. America is proud of you all." Tajikistan scripted a sensational comeback to beat India 4-2 in the first match of the Intercontinental Cup in Ahmedabad on Sunday. Defending champions India made the best start possible on the night with veteran Sunil Chhetri scoring a brace in the first half, but the visitors scored 4 goals in the second half, taking advantage of India's poor defending to grab all 3 points from the first match. 3 minutes into the game, Mandar Rao Desai played Lalianzula Changte through inside the box. The left winger came under a heavy challenge as the referee pointed to the spot. Captain Chhetri stepped up to the spot and placed Panenka into the top right corner to hand India the early lead. He then put India 2 goals ahead just minutes before the halftime whistle, netting his 70th goal in international football. The second half was very different. Tajikistan came out with great gusto and pulled one back within just 10 minutes. Komron Tursunov was played through on goal as he galloped past the defence. He also played a vital part in the second goal, as his cross from the right found Sheridin Boboev, who merely had to tap it in past the Indian goalie. Soon after, Muhammadjan Rahimov powered through the defence and slotted it past Gurpreet to make it 3-2 for Tajikistan. In the 75th minute, Panshanbe Essoni crossed it in for substitute Shahram Samiyev to volley it in, making it 4-2. In cricket news, Australia head coach Justin Langer confirmed that batsman Usman Khawaja will miss the rest of the World Cup due to a hamstring strain. Khawaja suffered the left hamstring injury in Australia's surprise 10-run defeat by South Africa at Old Trafford on Saturday. Matthew Wade is most likely to replace Khawaja in the Australian squad. Langer said, and I quote, "It's such a pity for Khawaja, for someone who's been so integral to how we've been playing, like Sean Marsh, who broke his arm on Thursday. I feel that's sad for him, and he's going to miss the World Cup semi-final." Matthew Wade is coming up. He's in great form. He's had a great 12 or 18 months back home, but he also just scored 200s for Australia A, so he's in great nick, unquote. Marcus Stoinis too was hampered by a niggle in the match against South Africa, an issue which had already sidelined the all-rounder for 2 group stage matches. Mitchell Marsh has been added to the squad as cover for Stoinis. India's opening batsman Rohit Sharma closed the gap to captain Virat Kohli at the top of ICC's ODI batting chart on the back of his astonishing run of form in the World Cup. Kohli's 442 runs at an average of 63.14 in the ongoing tournament, which included 5 half-centuries, gained him 1 point, taking him to 891 points. Rohit narrowed the gap between them from 51 points to only 6 after becoming the first batsman to score 5 centuries in the World Cup. His 885 points going into the semi-finals are his career high. Pakistan's Babar Azam moved up to the 3rd place, just behind his career-high 2nd place, achieved in June 2018. David Warner has re-entered the top 10 at number 6 after a highly successful group stage at the World Cup, where he scored 638 runs, just 9 less than Rohit. New Zealand captain Kane Williamson's consistent efforts have seen him rise 4 places and re-enter the top 10 at 8th place, while Australia's Usman Khawaja has risen to a career-high 15th place. England openers Jason Roy and Johnny Bairstow have both risen in the rankings, with Roy reaching a career-best 13th place. India, of course, still ruling the roost in ODI rankings with pace spearhead Jasprit Bumrah extending his lead at the top from 21 points to 56 points. He has taken 17 wickets in the 9 league matches at the World Cup. New Zealand's Trent Bolt remained in the second spot after a memorable league phase that included a hat-trick against Australia, the first ever in ODI cricket at Lord's. Pat Cummins of Australia is in third place. Afghanistan spinners Mujibur Rahman and Rashid Khan remain in the top 10 despite their team losing all matches at the World Cup. Mujib and Rashid are ranked 6th and 8th, respectively. Bangladesh's Shakib Al Hassan, who has had an amazing World Cup, remains the top all-rounder, while England's Ben Stokes has gained 9 places to reach 2nd position. In ODI team rankings, England remain in 1st position at 123 points, but only ahead of India by a few decimal points. As the 2019 Cricket World Cup enters its last week, the upcoming Ashes series looms large for England and Australia. In a scare for England's test team, bowling spearhead James Anderson has just under a month to prove his fitness for the first Ashes test against Australia after suffering a low-grade calf muscle tear while playing for county side Lancashire. Anderson, England's all-time leading wicket-taker in tests, will miss Lancashire's next two county championship matches against Northamptonshire and Sussex after leaving the field during a match against Durham on the 2nd of July due to tightness in his right calf muscle. He underwent an MRI, after which the ECB said, and I quote, "The MRI confirmed that Anderson has suffered a low-grade calf muscle tear. As a result of the injury, he will commence a rehabilitation program with the England and Lancashire CCC medical teams. He will be reassessed on an ongoing basis regarding his availability for the Specsavers Test Match versus Ireland at Lord's on the 24th of July and the Specsavers Ashes series against Australia starting on the 1st of August," unquote. Jimmy Anderson, who is no longer a part of England's ODI team, has taken 575 wickets in 148 tests, fourth in the all-time list of test wicket takers. The Ashes series begins 2 weeks after the end of the 2019 World Cup. Birmingham's Edgbaston will be the venue for the opening match of a five-test series on the 1st of August. Currently, Australia hold the Ashes trophy, but they have not won a test series in England since 2001.
Spotcast, your daily fix for everything from the world of sports on First Post.